Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called Step Up. Today we're going to enter into the second half of this series, and today we're going to talk about Step Up for Finances, Step Up for Finances. So please open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, which is about in the middle of the Bible. If you go to the middle of the Bible, you'll come pretty close to Proverbs. And today we're going to be looking at one verse as we start out here, Proverbs 3, verse number 9. And also, if you would, if you're listening here in the auditorium, there's a study guide in your program for the message. And if you're listening online, welcome to the message. And you can download the study guide right there at our website. Well, I'm very excited about this series. I'm excited about this second half. And we've already talked about Step Up for God. We've talked about Step Up for Faith. And then we talked about Step Up for Health. And God did a great work through all three of those messages. And now we move into the second half of this series. And so this series is really about helping you achieve what you want in the new year as far as goals and resolutions and things like that. And I like to kind of speak into your life during this time of year. And as you think about your life and improving your life, I want to come alongside of you and help you in this area. And certainly one of the things we think about every day is our money. But at the new year, a lot of us start thinking about how can I do better with my money? How can I better manage my money? And so I want to do a message today to help us in this area. And we're going to begin here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. And what we're going to talk about today are five what I believe are like foundational things for managing your money the right way. I mean, these five things we're going to talk about today are just so, so important. I cannot emphasize how important they are. You can go beyond these five things, but honestly, if you're going to do things the way the Bible teaches us to do things, everything you do with your money is going to be built on these five different foundational truths we're going to look at today. So I hope that you will really listen closely, because honestly, if you mess up or avoid any of these five, you're going to pay a severe price for it. Okay, these are so important that if you get it right, you're going to be living a great life, a blessed life. And if you don't get it right, I'm telling you, sadly, you're going to pay a severe price. So you want to listen closely as we talk about these foundations. But we're going to begin here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. And here's what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your possessions or substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor the Lord with your substance or your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book that is so important. I actually wrote a book called Wise Up that was based on the book of Proverbs. And this book I wrote has a chapter called Wise Up About Money. And the reason is there's so, so, so much great information in Proverbs about money. And so if you want to get stronger in your money, read Proverbs. I mean, read Proverbs. There's so much in here about managing money. But this verse here is a really special, powerful statement where it says, honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, today, the word that has really hit me hard in preparing for this message is the word honor. The word honor. I mean, that word has just gone really, really deep down inside of me. And it says we're to honor the Lord, okay? We're to honor the Lord. Now, the word honor means to hold, listen, to hold with great respect, to hold with great respect. In other words, you are to hold with great respect how you manage your money in relationship to God. We're to honor the Lord. We're to respect the Lord and how we manage what he gives to us. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. Why? Because you have created all things, okay? And for you, Everything was created for you. Revelation chapter 4. You know where we're going to... That's a song, by the way. You know where we're going to sing that? We're going to sing that around Jesus in heaven. We're going to sing, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you've created all things, and for your purpose they are and were created." Now, let's not wait till we get to heaven and start singing that song, okay? Let's sing it now, okay? He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of honor. And we're told to honor the Lord with our substance, with our possessions. And then we're not going to spend time on this today. Let me just highlight it because maybe you're saying, what does that mean? It says, with the first fruits of all your increase. And the law of first fruits is taught probably 25 times in the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. And basically what it says is this. When you give to God, you don't give leftovers to God. The first thing you do with your income, your money, is you give to God. So God's not a leftovers God. He doesn't want you to treat him as a leftover. like, okay, God, I got this leftover. I think I'll shoot a little bit your way. No. He wants the first fruits because it's just a tangible way to demonstrate he's first in your life. Okay, your house isn't the first place in your life. Your car's not first place in your life. Your groceries aren't first place in your life. You know, he's first place in your life. He's first place. So he says, give me your first fruits. Okay, give me your first fruits. Well, today what we're going to focus on is the word honor. The word honor. And we're going to talk about five different expressions of honor when it comes to stepping up for finances. So let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about these. Now, these are not only important, they're chronological. Okay, these five things build on each other. So if you understand it that way, these are like the domino effect. So what I'm trying to point out to you is you can't say, I like number 2, I'm going to do number 2, and I'm not going to do number, 5? I mean, honestly, that they literally just go together. Okay, they go together. And yes, there's so much more to say about money. I mean, if you take Crown and Financial Peace, I don't know the answer, but probably 50 hours of training. Let's just say it's 50 hours. I mean, there's a lot we can say about money, you know? But I'm telling you, these five are critical mass. I mean, these five are the foundations. You got to get them right, okay? So what's the first one? Honor God as the owner. One way you honor God with your possessions is you honor God as the owner. You recognize the relationship you have with God as this. God is the owner, and you are what we call, the Bible calls, a steward. All right? And basically, God owns everything, and who you are and I am, we're stewards. We have temporary, key word is temporary. We have temporary management over some of God's possessions that he assigns to us for a period of time while we're on this earth. We have a temporary stewardship that he gives to us. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all, circle the word all its fullness. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the fullness of it, all of it, okay? The world and those who dwell therein. So the Bible's very, very clear there that he's the owner. He is the one that owns everything. In fact, the Bible says in Haggai 2, verse 8, the silver is mine. And I love that, the capitalization there. See that? Mine, mine. I mean, that's showing God, okay? The mine is God, okay? Yeah, God's saying the silver is mine. The gold is mine. The capital M, it's mine, says the Lord of hosts. I mean, we just have to realize, you know, who we are, because if we start acting like we own stuff, we're going to get in a lot of trouble, okay? We're going to get in a lot of trouble. See what you got to realize, the things we have, you know, almost all of them existed, you know, before we got here, and they're going to exist after we leave, you know? So we have like a kind of a temporary management for a period of time over God's stuff. Now, I love the opening statement of our growth guide for this week. I love this first paragraph. It says, It's all God's money. All right? Yep. Then it goes on to say, many Christians would nod their head in agreement with that statement. But when it's time to open the wallet, it's as if we have completely forgotten. Suddenly it's our money, and we try desperately to keep as much as possible. Listen, folks, we got to recognize, you know, it's his, okay? It's his. Now, I'm telling you, this is the foundation of all the biblical principles, of all the financial principles. You got to understand, he's the owner and we're the stewards, okay? He's the owner and we're the stewards. Number two, honor God as the provider. The provider. You say, well, how did I get what I got? Well, the answer is God gave it to you. God gave it to you. God made that decision. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So never forget, your wealth has been provided to you by God. You say, well, I went to school, and I studied, and all that kind of stuff, and got my degree or whatever, or degrees, and yes, but you know what? God's the one that allowed that opportunity for you, okay? God gave you that. He gave you the brain to do it. He gave you the school to go to. He gave you the finances or whatever to make it happen, you know? He gave you the power to do that. He gave you the power to do that. He said, well, I work hard. I go do my job, you know? I deserve what I get or whatever. Well, guess what? I mean, who gave you the strength to do that? I mean, who opened up the door to get that job? I mean, God. And you know what? He can take it away. He, as quick as you got it, he can take it away. I mean, he turns the tap on. Says, I'm going to give you this right here. You know, you got to honor him as the provider. He gives you the power to get wealth. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required. Look at that word required in stewards. That we be found faithful. What does the word faithful mean? It means full of faith. Okay, what's he going to judge us about? What's the standard going to be? The standard is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Not how much you got or how much you didn't get. The question is, were you faithful with what you got? In other words, you know, you don't look around and say, well, you know, I wish I had what they have or whatever. No, just, you know, God. You know, when you look at somebody like has lots of money, they, you know, Luke 12:48 says it this way. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. So when you start looking at people and saying, I wish I had all that, well, guess what? They're going to have a bigger judgment. To whom much is given, much is required. And guess what? If we're sitting in this room right now, we have been given much, okay? You live in this amazing country that's been blessed by God, you know, with 300 million or so people out of, you know, 6-7 billion on the planet. And here we sit in America. My goodness. We're part of the ones that have been given much. And much is going to be required of us. So the question is, are you going to be found faithful? Are you going to be found faithful with what God has given to you? Because the problem is, we start loving money, don't we? So there's this war that goes on. Now, perhaps you've heard it said, money's not evil. It's neutral, right? Money can be positive or it can be negative. But the love of the money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the end result, look at that last part there, says it's going to lead to many sorrows. When you start loving money, loving possessions, loving things, it's going to pierce you through with many, many sorrows. So again, these are chronological. You cannot pick and choose. This is not, I'll do 2 out of 5. No, it doesn't work that way. All right, so he's the owner. Got that down? Three of you do. Good. Okay. He's the owner. He's the provider. Because remember, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. It's his. And he says, I'm going to give you, here's $100 of my money. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to let you manage it for a while. Number three, honor God as the judge. Honor God as the judge. And so here's the deal. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So there's different judgments in the Bible. Easter Sunday, we're going to launch a series. I'm so excited about it. I'm studying really hard for it right now. It's going to be a series on the life hereafter. And we're going to get into a lot of this different stuff here, okay? And one of the judgments that you're going to face in the life hereafter is you're going to face what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when I say you, I hope you're going to, listen, if you're not in this line, you're in big trouble. That's all I can tell you, okay? Because there's another judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. If you end up in that line, you're in big trouble. That's all I can tell you, okay? Because you're going to the lake of fire, okay? So if you're in the line, the sign says judgment seat of Christ, you're going the right direction, okay? And it says each of us are going to have to appear there. And the purpose of it is to receive the things done in the body. And what is the word receive? The idea of receiving is to receive crowns. To receive crowns. God is going to reward those that are faithful, full of faith, with crowns. And the Bible says you're going to get to lay those crowns at the feet of Jesus. You're going to lay those crowns at the feet of Jesus. So we're going to receive the things done in the body according to what we've done. According to what we've done, whether it's good or bad. Okay, if we've done good, we're going to get lots of crowns. We get laid at the feet of Jesus. If we've done bad, no crowns. Okay, we're not going to lay any crowns at the feet of Jesus. So we got to honor God as the judge. We got to realize that, man, you know, every dollar is a dollar we're going to have to account for in heaven. Top of page three. My favorite, what's called parable in the Bible, the one that's most impacted my life, is this parable in Luke chapter 12. It says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So Jesus is telling this story about this guy. He's rich, and God's blessing him, and he's yielding plentifully. And the Bible says in verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, all right, now, in my notes, I drew a line down to between 19 and 20, okay? Above verse 20, I put the word life, the word life. Below that, I put the word death. I put the word death. So here's how this guy lived his life. He lived an I and my life. He knew nothing about number one and number two. He did not recognize God as the owner. He did not recognize God as the provider. And he didn't even recognize God as the judge. So his life was a life without anything on page number two. His life was an I and my life. 12 times. 12 times. Okay, the emphasis here is on I and my. And so God's blessing him. God has given him the power to get wealth. And he's got a lot of good stuff flowing his way. And here's what he says. What shall I do? What shall I do? Not God, what do you want me to do with all this great stuff you're giving me? I don't have any room to store my crops. It's my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 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 you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he went on living his life, totally avoiding points one, two, and three. His life was, he didn't recognize God as the owner. He didn't recognize God as the provider. He didn't honor God as the judge. And now he's going to die. But God said to him, fool, fool. You say, well, God's not being very nice. He called a guy a fool. Well, here's what the word fool means. So if you're going to call somebody a fool, make sure you do it biblically, okay? Fool means a person who lives their life only from a temporal perspective. In other words, all they think about is today, 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 the temporary. They don't think about the eternal. They don't think about tomorrow. And God called this guy a fool. He says, "Fool, don't you know that you're going to die tonight? Don't you know this night your soul will be required of you? I'm calling in the loan, so to speak, or whatever word you want to use there, okay? Yeah, your soul is going to be required tonight." And then this is so sad. Then whose are those things going to be? I mean, just think about it, okay? You drop dead. Here's how it's going to work. I've been in a situation many times, you know? Yeah, walking into homes and things like that where people have passed, you know? Yeah. They're dead. They're gone, you know. The car's out in the driveway. You know, got the clothes hanging in the closet. Food's in the refrigerator, you know. They got their apartment or house or whatever. They're gone, you know. They're gone. That stuff's going to go to somebody else. They're now going to become a steward of it. That person who died, their stewardship is over. It's still here. They're just gone. The house is still here. God's going to pass it on to somebody else, you know? Here's the deal. Make sure you don't just lay up treasure for yourself, but make sure you're rich toward God. Make sure you're rich toward God. Honor God as the judge. As the judge. And then number four, honor God as a tither. Now, tithe means 10%. For the longest time, my pastor would preach on tithing. I was a kid. I didn't have a clue what the guy was talking about, okay? 10% is what it means, okay? Now, you don't have any problem with tithing if you got number one, two, and three down, okay? You wouldn't think of anything else, all right? So one of the evidences of whether you really have this down is what you're doing with the first three, okay? The Bible says in Leviticus 27:30 that all the tithe of the land, whether it's of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So the point is, maybe you have multiple streams of income. Okay, doesn't matter, you know, whether you get it from here. That's what the verse is saying. Whether it comes from the land or comes from the tree, or wherever it comes from. Okay, you have your streams of income coming into your life. Okay. It is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. Now, everything, of course, belongs to God. All right, we already understood that. But the point is, the tithe is something very sacred in the sense that the Bible says it's holy to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. So what we have to understand is, you know, God brings to us this, that turns it on, so to speak, and then he expects us to honor him as a tither, okay? In fact, the Bible goes on to say, you know, these people that weren't tithing, he calls them thieves. He says, they're robbing me, okay? They're thieving. They're stealing from me, he says. And he says in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, you know? You can't afford not to tithe, you know? You got to understand that, okay? I mean, it's good business management of money to be a tither, okay? And God says, okay, I'm going to curse your finances, okay? Because you're robbing me. You're stealing from me. And the answer is bring the tithe. Bring it to the storehouse. The storehouse is the local church for the New Testament Christian. Bring it on. Bring the tithe. Be a bringer of the tithe. So there'll be food in my house. So there'll be the money for the ministries. Basically, modern-day translation of that. Make sure there's the money for the ministries as you bring it to the house. And then here's so critical. We talked about this in our second message about faith. He says, try me now in this. Try me now in this. Try me now in this. I mean, God actually, you know, we talked about different ways that God builds our faith. And one of the ways that God builds our faith is through the tithe. Because what we have to understand is it's not about finances, it's about faith. That's what he's saying here. He is saying to you, you test me in this. You try me in this. Now, that can be scary, you know. You know, fortunately, I was brought up in an environment where I was taught to do this as a child in my church and my family. But you know what? There's times. I remember when we moved up here to start our church here, okay? We lived in a mobile home in Lynchburg, and then we came up here and we brought our mobile home with us, okay? And I remember being in Lynchburg. I was paying like Lynchburg, Virginia, okay, is where I grew up. And the lot for the mobile home, I think we were paying like $60 for it. And that included water, sewer, trash, all this stuff, whatever, $60, okay? We move up here, and man, it was like seven times, I think, as much. Didn't include water, didn't include trash, didn't include nothing, okay? That was so scary, you know? We were just, my wife and I was just stepping up. We got up here, and, somebody told me I need to tell more stories like this at first service. But, I mean, you know, you guys don't know what my wife has sacrificed for this church, okay, all these years, okay? I mean, she's the hidden, okay, part of me, okay? Better never forget my wife, okay? And I remember my wife, she's trying to help because we were just trying to start the church, didn't have an income. I didn't know a single soul when I got here. You know, we had a Toyota car, nothing wrong with Toyota's, good, fine car, whatever, okay? But it had over 300,000 miles on it. We literally had to strap, most of you city people don't know what baling rope is, okay? But it's like rope you use for hay, okay? And the back door, we'd put Crystal in the car seat, and that door right there where she would sit, we literally had to use baling rope to hold that door in, okay? My wife would get in the car, and she would drive an hour to work for her sister because she wanted to be able to take Crystal with her, and her sister let her do that, and she made minimum wage to do that, okay? I had a baseball collection. And I sold it 1 week just so we could have food. My wife, a friend of hers in college, gave her a really nice diamond necklace. We sold it just so we could eat 1 week, okay? I mean, sacrifice. And I'm not bragging. All I'm saying is I know what it's like to be in a tough spot, okay? I know what it's like, okay? It's scary to tithe when you're in a tough spot. Okay? I've been there, okay? I've lived that life. I know that. In fact, it's still hard, okay? It's still hard. But you know what? God invites you to test him, okay? God invites you to test him. He says it, okay? So honor God as a tither. And then lastly, honor God as a planner. A planner. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. See, when you plan correctly, you have plenty, okay? Now, your plenty might not be as much plenty as you want, but it's plenty. I wish my plenty was more. Well, don't we all, okay? But the point is, you live within your means. You understand? It's called living within your means. Number one, that requires accounting. It says, know the state of your flocks. Okay, you say, flocks? I don't have any flocks. Well, that agricultural term there. A lot of people were shepherds. Okay, you know the state of your stocks, if you will, okay, if you have any stocks. But the point is, don't worry about it. We're not an agricultural society. But the point is, know the condition of your stuff, your money, your stuff, okay? So four basic essentials you need to know. Number one, what you owe. How much debt do you have? How much debt do you have? Number two, what you own, your assets. Your assets. What do you have in assets, all right? What do you earn? How much is your income? How much are you bringing in, okay? And then where it goes, your spending, you know? You know, people say money talks. Money doesn't talk. Money just quietly goes away, okay? Seriously. It don't say anything. It just quietly goes away, you know? You got to know how you're spending your money. And what does that mean? You got to sit down first, it says, and count the costs to make sure you got enough, okay? Jesus said, sit down first. You say, I'd like to have that car. Well, that's fine, you know? God might want you to have that car. I don't know. But you got to sit down first and make sure you can afford that car, right? I like to have that dress. Well, great, wonderful. Maybe he wants you to have that dress, but you got to sit down first and figure this stuff out, okay? Sit down first to make sure you can finish it. Make sure you can actually pay for it, you know? Proverbs 3, pay your bills. When you have the money, you have a debt, pay your bills. Be known for paying your bills, you know? And then be careful with debt. The rich rules over the poor, the borrower is servant to the lender, you know? God doesn't necessarily forbid debt, but he does forbid, you know, getting into too much debt, for sure, okay? And just realize, when you borrow, you become a servant to the lender, okay? You now owe somebody, and you're now their servant, okay? And they're going to expect you to pay. So honor God as a planner. One of the ways you show I honor God with my substance, my possessions, is you plan it. Okay? He sees you methodically planning it. Folks, again, these are in chronological order. I'm telling you, if you live your life, God, you're the owner. God, you're the owner. Starts right there, okay? Number two, what's number two? If you're the provider, I got it from you, God. All right? So I know where it came from. You're the judge. Now, what you gave me, I'm going to have to give an account for it now. And God, I'm going to be a tither, okay? I'm going to be a tither. And then, God, I'm going to be a planner. You know what? When I'm telling you, that's when God will help you to step up for finances. And I promise you, if you don't do any of these five, now you listen to me, I love you, okay? You don't do any of these five, you're going to pay a price. And it's going to be severe, okay? It's going to be severe. Because I'm telling you, good financial practices are built on these five things. Father, we love you and thank you for your awesome word and the wisdom that's found in your word. Lord, just help us now to be able to digest this and download this and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.